Time now for sports on 104.7 The Cave. Here's Ned Reynolds.
Mike the intern, Ned Reynolds in the studio this morning. We kind of knew it was coming, kind of felt it was coming, and I was kind of on the fence. Now, if you follow any Chiefs on social media, people were just outpouring of thanks for everything, number 29. And, of course, the Chiefs released Eric Berry. And I'm sad, but it makes sense. Your thoughts?
It is football, and the lifespan of a pro football player, especially in a concussive circumstance like running back, or really any, because a physical contact game, lifespan is usually about 4 or 5 years. Now, I don't mean that in terms of course their life, but in terms of their effectiveness. And Eric Berry certainly wasn't going to be able to contribute a whole lot for the Chiefs. They all knew it. He'd been with his team now for 9 years. He's one of the stars on the ball club, but he had diminished. When he played during the playoffs, he was lit up a couple of times, and that really was the knell, so to speak, and I hesitate to say death knell, but the knell of his not being effective anymore as a Chiefs player. So the fact that he was released, I kind of thought he'd retire and become a coach, but no, apparently he wants to be a free agent, so the Chiefs have cut him. They do owe him money. We'll talk about that a little bit in the second segment, but the addition of Honey Badger is going to be a big, big plus for Kansas City, and you couldn't have the two of those high-salary players back there. One is very effective. Tyrann Mathieu's an all-pro, and so is Eric Berry, but he is past his time.
Yeah, Eric Berry, healthy, was effective. Correct. And that's the thing we got to keep reminding ourselves, and if you want to win games, you got to do the best you can to get that team where it needs to be.
It is a business.
It is, and it's unfortunate when that happens. I know everyone at Chiefs Kingdom loves 29, and we always will. He'll be on that ring probably within the next decade, but in the meantime, business is business. And speaking of which, kind of a surprise to me at least, but maybe not to you, Cardinal starting Martinez on that injured list. Not very good.
Martinez is a bit of an enigma to the Cardinals because he had the shoulder problem last year. He was told during the offseason to strengthen that, to go through all sorts of exercises, and there is evidence that he did not. And he came in, still has the shoulder weakness. Well, now he's been under the eyes of the Cardinals, under Schilt and the whole crew down there, and he's been working and getting that shoulder stronger. They have no option. They have to put him on the injured list to start out with and make sure he's 100% when he gets back to pitching. Now, Martinez says through his broken English that he wants to be a starter, but he isn't a starter.
No.
He's going to have to be a reliever, and that's how they're grooming him right now. So I think there's a transitionary period involved here, not only strengthening, but get used to sitting in the bullpen, buddy, because that's where you're going to be.
Yeah, and this is a nice life lesson for you kids, is if there's a big difference between wanting something and earning something, and if you are told that you need to do a certain amount of things in the offseason on your own time, and you don't do them, you don't get it. That's just the way it goes, and that's life.
Better understand, gang, this is professional sports. Yeah. You are getting a salary. You do what the man says.
Go to the gym every day if you have to. Man, I'd love to do that. So, speaking of going to the gym, that's where high school basketball playoffs going to be tomorrow. What's the schedule?
We do. We have a very interesting schedule coming up, and we have three teams from the area. This is the Class 4 and 5, and this is the end of the season now for basketball. Two of the three teams are from the same school, Rogersville. Rogersville's Wildcats, they will play Grandview at 1:45 tomorrow afternoon. That's the boys. And the Rogersville Lady Wildcats play Lincoln College Prep at 5:15, both those games in JQH. Lincoln College Prep is located in Kansas City. Republic's girls, the Lady Tigers, Chris Flood is an excellent coach and has had annually very fine basketball teams down there. The Republic Lady Tigers are in the Class 5 semifinals. They play at 1:45. And you say, wait a minute. 1:45? Two games going on? Correct.
Wow.
At 1:45 in Hammond Center. They will play while the Rogersville Wildcats are playing at 1:45 at JQH. So you split your time, you sprint if you
Lots
can.
Lots of people going back and forth.
That's about a 100, no, not even that far. It's maybe a 50-yard run from inside through the tunnel and then out to the other one. Hey, you'll get
one lane of cars on there. So it'll be kind of like playing Frogger. And Ned will be out there to help you cross the street if you need it.
I will be directing
Kevin. He'll be out there wearing his orange vest, making sure the cars stop and getting you across the street like a good crosswalk guard should. You've been watching the news. You've been reading the forums on social media. We all know number 29 is no longer a Kansas City Chief. Now, if you start looking into it on the financial side of things, I've seen all kinds of different numbers coming up as far as how much we're going to have to pay him, how much he's owed, how much we have left in the cap space, you know, for all this stuff. Ned, what are the facts? Because, well, I mean, I'm telling you, I've seen like 20 different numbers. I'm like, these guys don't know what the hell they're talking about. I need the expert in here.
I'm not sure that there is an answer to it. I will tell you this, though. The Chiefs will owe Eric Berry for this season just a little bit under $3 million. It would have been $7.5 million, and they really, in all honesty, couldn't justify paying that along with Tyrann Mathieu. Furthermore, there is such a big difference in talent level. Matthew's at his prime, and Eric Berry is not. So from a football standpoint, it probably would not have worked. From a financial standpoint, it definitely would not have worked. So the Chiefs will owe Eric Berry this year $3 million. He had a huge contract that really comes to an end in 2019. So what does that mean? It means dead cap space. And dead cap space means money that the Chiefs will owe Eric Berry somewhere along the line. And that amounts to $15 million. Now, does that mean they have to pay him this year or all that? No. There are ways around that, and I'm sure Eric Berry will accept that as long as he gets what is owed him through the contract. But it's still an awful lot of money that they will have to pay out. However, by the same token, this is the NFL, and these teams have very effective ledger operators, and they'll be able to apportion this out to where it's not going to hurt them too badly, but they won't come out scot-free. And don't feel badly for Mr. Berry. He's put away a lot of money, let me tell you.
Yeah, I mean, making $3 million just sitting down is not anything to...
I'm not sure he will, Mike. I kind of think there's a team that may bring him on. He did not have surgery, so he won't be recovering from any kind of heel surgery. And according to the reports that I have read, the doctor told him, you don't need an operation. But you do need a mindset, and you have to play through pain because this is going to hurt you. But you can be effective as long as you can do that. Well, Eric Berry's overcome a lot. My gosh, he had cancer survivor, Achilles tendon.
Yeah, man.
So he knows what it's like to play through pain. And I suspect that he set himself to say, hey, I can help some team. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him end up somewhere.
Now, would that affect that cap space if he's picked up from somewhere else?
No, because he's under contract to the Chiefs, and that's dead cap space, and they will owe him that.
Well, obviously, it was something they had to do because you look at that dead money, and that's something not a lot of teams want to mess with. But obviously, Brett Veach has got a plan. Well, hopefully, we'll find out what that is.
Ned Reynolds has a lot of dead money that I can't find.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I got all kinds of dead money. Where are my guys supposed to pay? So how did Mizzou do in their tournament opener yesterday?
You knew they were going to win because Georgia is terrible. That's the worst Southeastern Conference team I think I have seen in years. Missouri beat him 71-61, beat him by 25 in Athens just last week. And the Georgia team, while they're athletic, they can't shoot. Their offense is terrible. Tom Crean, in his first year down there, has some definite rebuilding to do with the Bulldogs because they finished their Southeastern Conference season with 2 wins and 17 losses. That, in Georgia, is unacceptable in any sport. So Missouri advances to play again this afternoon. There's the problem with being in the play-in round.
Yeah.
Because day after day
Get a break.
There is no rest. So this afternoon, Missouri will play Auburn, Bruce Pearl's team, and they'll run and gun. That'll be a tough assignment.
Yeah, they will. Now, speaking of running and gunning, the Drury Lady Panthers playing tomorrow night. How's that look with all the hoopla going on with the last game?
That's a very good question.
I had that interview with Danielle, and that got brought up, and I was kind of like, man, you're right. Kind of an interesting situation. I mean, I understand the rule of the players running on the field you can't do that.
But, it is a hard and set rule in which there is no arguing. Even though those girls who left the bench didn't touch anybody or apparently didn't threaten anybody, they still left the bench in an altercation, and the rule is hard and fast. It really wasn't set for girls; it was set for boys, but. You don't make a gender differential here.
You can't.
So the rule is the rule, and those two girls have been suspended for that game. Drury played, I think that doesn't make any difference. Drury is really, really good. And that while the two girls are starters, sure, there'll be a chemistry imbalance there for a while. But this Drury team is number one in America. They're pretty doggone good. They play at 6 o'clock tomorrow night in O'Reilly Family Events Center playing Kentucky Wesleyan. It will not be the first time they played this year. Drury played Kentucky Wesleyan back in, or may have been the first game of the year, and blew them out. Of course, they blow everybody out.
Yeah, they do.
It's a great team, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see them end up in a national championship contest. But tomorrow night at 6 is their first game.
That's where it all starts, and this is where we all end. Ned, thank you.